Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Well before America became a nation, Dartmouth College began as an institution for the training of missionaries to the Indians, for the evangelization and the education of Native Americans. You wouldn't know that now, not judging from controversies recent and contemporary at Dartmouth College, especially one related to a young man who was the student body president who, as is the custom of the college, presented an opening address to welcoming freshmen. When he welcomed freshmen, Noah Reiner told them about the issue of character and why it was central. He gave some illustrations from Dartmouth's history, and he pointed to the example of Jesus Christ. And that's when the trouble started. We're going to talk about that controversy today. We're going to have Noah Reiner as our guest in the second segment, and first, a review of issues in the news. Kind of variations on a theme today, as a matter of fact. We're going to be looking at some of the issues in our review here at the beginning of the hour that are related to education, public and private, and to why some issues of urgent controversy really ought to have our attention as parents. Regardless of where we live and where our children are studying, these are issues that affect us all. John Leo, in the current edition of U.S. News and World Report, speaks of an issue in Lexington, Massachusetts. We've talked about this thus far in terms of summary. I've let you know about the controversy there in Lexington, Massachusetts. It seems that in the kindergarten, you're talking about five-year-olds, folks, in the kindergarten classes in Lexington, Massachusetts, the children are exposed to a book that tells them that family includes many different forms, including same-sex couples, men and men, women and women, as well as heterosexual couples, and et cetera, et cetera. This relativization of the family is the theme of the book. It's a part of a program that is officially sponsored there in the Lexington, Massachusetts schools. And one set of parents decided they did not want that for their son. David and Tanya Parker decided they did not want their son involved in this. Now, the Massachusetts schools have an opt-out opportunity such that parents can take their children out of sex education classes if they find them offensive and if they violate their own moral understandings. And so you would think, at least the Parkers thought, that they could remove their kindergarten son from this program that was relativizing the family. And yet the school board responded by saying that family education is not the same thing as sex education, and the parents were denied the right to opt out their five-year-old son. Now, this would, I assume, make most parents, at least most parents I know, angry. And so these parents demanded a meeting with the school board. David Parker went to the school to meet with the officials. The school agreed to a meeting, but they offered no accommodation. Instead, the school took what John Leo describes as a hard-nosed stance. David Parker refused to leave the school property until his concerns were satisfied. The school responded by having him arrested. He was led off to jail in handcuffs. He was allowed out on bail. His trial for trespassing has been delayed for months, but he's now under a restraining order that bans him from the school and its grounds. He can't even visit his son. He can't pick his son up from school. He can't even vote because this school is his polling place. Now, you talk about hardball. Now, where would the American Civil Liberties Union be on a case like this? Well, here's a surprise. On the wrong side. The ACLU of Massachusetts said that the school and school officials are on solid legal ground for arguing, they say, that public education would grind to a halt if parents had the right to demand classes tailored to each child based on the parents' moral views. Well, that gets right to the heart of the issue, doesn't it now? They say that the entire school system would break down if parents got to insist that their moral views be respected. And that's why there was such controversy there in Lexington, Massachusetts. And that's just the start, because what's happening there is actually happening all over the country. The real shame and tragedy in all this is that there are many parents who are unaware, and especially parents of the youngest children. Many of these parents are unaware of what's actually going on. These parents found out when the child came home and talked about the book or bought the book home. And at that point, and by the way, there is a book bag program. That's what it's called for kindergartners there in the Lexington School District. And in this program, the book bags, we are told, are intended, quote, to build an atmosphere of tolerance and respect for family structure diversity. Well, there you go. Tanya Parker, that's David Parker's wife, the mother of the kindergartner in question here, said that they were told by the school that the children would have the option to bring home a diversity book bag, but she says she never received the option. Instead, the book bag was simply on display at back-to-school night. Folks, this is what's happening in far too many school districts. This is just one example of what is happening when the agendas of the cultural and social and sexual revolutionaries have their way in the school systems in the name of tolerance and diversity. And those who lose are the parents and the children of Christian parents who would not want their children taught that family means anything and everything, including same-sex couples and all the rest. But, you know, these days we're rather accustomed to being offended by these horror stories from school districts all over America. We understand that the public schools, just as John Dewey suggested they should be, the pragmatist philosopher who really set the groundwork for the secularization of the public schools, the utter victory and ultimate victory of secularism in the public schools, John Dewey said the problem is that parents have convictions that the public schools need to remove from the children. In other words, the children need to be taken out of the home, need to be separated from the parents so that the prejudices, that's his word for it, the religious prejudices of the parents do not go on to the next generation. And what we have here in so many of these school systems are bureaucrats, academic elites, and ideologues who want to reach our children around us and to separate them from what are classified as our prejudices. But as much as we are accustomed to seeing so much of that in the public schools, what about the private schools? Let me take you to Austin, Texas, to St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. In this case, St. Andrew's Episcopal School. It's a very prominent and elite preparatory school there in Austin, the capital city of Texas. Cody McNair, a film producer in that town, he is the son of Texas oil man Robert McNair, who is the owner of the Houston Texans football team. He has withdrawn a $3 million pledge to the school. He has three children in the school, and it has to do with the fact that he and his wife were outraged that the school observed the Day of Silence, that's organized by homosexual advocates, but would not observe the National Day of Prayer. In a meeting with school officials to discuss this, they also raised the issue of a short story that is in the high school reading curriculum. That short story, well, you need to hear this. Its title is Brokeback Mountain. It's by Annie Proop, a Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist, and her story, Brokeback Mountain, is about to become a major motion picture to be released on December 9 in theaters all over America. It tells the story of two homosexual cowboys and of their love affair over a 30-year period, and it includes explicit, graphic sex. Do you think that's appropriate for high school students? You know, let's be honest here. It wouldn't be appropriate if it were a heterosexual depiction of sex, much less a homosexual depiction of sex. But the school defended the presence of the book in the curriculum. And the teacher of the class in which this is found as an optional reading said that it is literature that expands our horizons and frees us from our prejudices. Well, are there no limits whatsoever? Now, the interesting thing is that the St. Andrew's Episcopal School is a member of the National Association of Episcopal Schools. It insists that it is maintaining its Episcopal identity, and on its own mission statement, it says that its mission is to provide an enriched academic program within a Christian environment, emphasizing the fulfillment of each student's potential. Well, what does it mean when they say within a Christian environment? What kind of Christian environment includes a depiction of graphic sex and materials handed out to adolescents? What kind of Christian environment would say to parents, it's none of your business, we're going to continue to do this? Mr. and Mrs. McNair went to meet with school officials along with Mr. and Mrs. Ben Crenshaw. They are also parents there at the St. Andrew's Episcopal School, and you'll recognize that name. Ben Crenshaw is a well-known professional golfer, and they were more or less told to go home with their concerns. Well, the McNairs evidently went home, and they went home with a $3 million pledge they had given to the capital campaign for this school system. In fact, their family name was to be on the middle school in the new construction, and they asked that their name be taken off. We began by talking about an incident of great tragedy and outrage in the public schools, but this is a reminder to us that that there are private schools that are just as dangerous and even more so than the public schools, because the big issue is who is in control. And what are the confessional, the principal, the ideological, doctrinal boundaries that establish what should and should not be taught, what should and should not be read? Folks, don't get nervous when people accuse you of censoring what your children read. That's what God put you there for. We are supposed to be censors. And folks, this world is filled with all kinds of literature, movies, short stories, novels, and all the rest that none of us should be reading, and we should self-censor, and then we need to censor what our children read. We may not be able to take responsibility for what everyone in the world, much less everyone in the United States, is going to read, but for crying out loud, these are our children. And when we put them in a Christian school, we have every right to expect that it will be Christian. And that a Christian environment will mean more than mere words. We'll be back to talk about what happened when Noah Reiner decided to talk about Jesus when he talked about character at Dartmouth College. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Dartmouth College is one of America's most prestigious and venerable academic institutions, founded way back in the middle of the 18th century. Fascinating story behind it. It was originally established as a school for the evangelization and education of American Indians. And yet the very man who established it, he had a bigger vision as well. He wanted the school to compete with Harvard and Yale, and that's an important part of the story as well. The Reverend Eleazar Wheelock was a leading figure in the First Great Awakening in the United States of America, and it is a fantastic story in terms of how Dartmouth College came to be. And, from the viewpoint of secular American education, Dartmouth has succeeded in doing everything that Reverend Wheelock wanted it to do in terms of competing with Harvard and Yale in terms of learning. It just has done everything he would not have wanted it to do in terms of abandoning its Christian roots. Folks, we talked about this before. We need to be aware that, and we need to remind ourselves, sometimes with tragic events such as controversy, with irritating, unnecessary events such as controversy, to remind ourselves that most of the prestigious, dominant academic institutions in America have turned hostile to Christianity. Now, they would say they're neutral, but don't fool yourself. They have turned hostile as cultures towards convictional Christianity. Noah Reiner found that out. Noah is the student body president at Dartmouth College, and that office comes with the opportunity to welcome freshmen in the incoming class at the opening convocation ceremony. Noah Reiner did that. He spoke of the necessity of students developing character. He said, "You're special." I'm paraphrasing what he had to say here. He said, "Look, you got into this Ivy League college. You're special, but special's not enough. Character is what's necessary." And he pointed to some examples where Dartmouth graduates had failed by character. And he pointed to the example of Jesus Christ as his model for character. He spoke movingly, personally. He spoke convictionally. He spoke of Jesus, he said, as an example of good character, but much more than that, he's the solution to flawed people like corrupt Dartmouth alums, looters, and me. Very interestingly, what Noah did was to tie together some examples of Dartmouth graduates who had a great education, but obviously deficient character, and then what happened in New Orleans when you saw the looting and all the rest, and then he made an audacious statement. In fact, this may have been the most offensive thing he said, if people ever understood it. He said, "Look, it's because they're sinners and we are too." He didn't use the word sinner, but that was his point. And then he pointed to Jesus Christ, not only as the example of character, but also as Savior. He said this: "Jesus' message of redemption is simple. People are imperfect, and there are consequences for our actions. He gave his life for our sins so that we wouldn't have to bear the penalty of the law, so we could see love. The problem is me. The solution is God's love, Jesus on the cross, for us." Well, that is a simple, uncomplicated, straightforward declaration of Christian truth, and of Noah Reiner's personal conviction, and of his understanding of personal character, and how character can be achieved not by some kind of self-help program, but through the transformation that only Jesus Christ can bring. He was speaking as a citizen of the United States. He was speaking as the student body president of Dartmouth College, and he found himself in no small amount of controversy. One of the vice presidents of the student body resigned, saying that that Noah Reiner had abused his platform and had given what she called an appalling speech. He has his defenders as well, but you can say as much for Noah Reiner. He knows how to get a debate started on the campus of the institution whose student body he leads. He's on our program today. Noah Reiner, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mohler. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you, and I know our listeners would like to know more about this story, but how exactly did you get into so much trouble so fast?
Well, it was pretty simple, actually. I gave a speech that I hoped would make people think and raise a issue that we don't talk about very much at Dartmouth, and that's character. And some of the things I said in that speech just got people so stirred up that for the next week or even 2 weeks, the student newspaper wrote about almost nothing else.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a dossier before me. I've been playing FBI agent here, looking into your situation. Now, let me tell you, all you have to do is Google your name these days, and especially if you go to the Dartmouth, the campus newspaper there on the Dartmouth College campus, and you'll discover that Noah has a real gift for inciting controversy. And Noah, I want to tell you, I'm proud of you for doing it. And when I first heard about this, I knew I needed to take a closer look, because sometimes, these controversies are not what may at first appear. I mean, there are Christians who can say things poorly. And there are situations in which, a mountain's made out of a molehill. But the more I looked into your situation, the more I was convinced that we're finally looking at one of these classic cases where a man got up and spoke with conviction and has been heartily condemned for it. And I guess that's what would surprise an awful lot of people, Noah. You didn't say anything negative about non-Christians. You didn't give an invitation. No one's saying just as I am. You spoke about character. You spoke of your faith in Jesus Christ. And yet I have read the letters to the editor, the op-ed. I read the editorial board's response from the campus newspaper. Why are they so offended?
Well, I certainly didn't know that this sort of reaction would occur when I gave my speech. I knew there would be some people who disagree with me, but I was very surprised to just the kind of incredibly vicious reaction that that I saw on campus and even off campus.
Now, let me ask you, Noah, I know you are familiar with the history of Dartmouth College, but, are you aware of the fact that Dartmouth has in recent years become more and more uncertain in terms of how to handle its Christian heritage? President Friedman, several years ago, spoke about the ghosts of Dartmouth's past, and what he was speaking of is the Christian heritage. Is it that much of an embarrassment on the campus?
Well, things like Dartmouth traditions and a lot of Dartmouth history is looked down upon, and it's not something that that most people are proud of on campus today.
All right. No, I want to ask you just in terms of your experience here. Do you think that your experience at Dartmouth is analogous, pretty much what others would find on other campuses? Do you think if you had done this at the University of Michigan or Stanford or for that matter, at Ohio State University, you would have received more or less the same kind of outrage?
Well, I can't speak for other people, but I do believe that a culture of intolerance exists in many places of higher education. I think that although we're preached at with this message of tolerance and that everyone's voice should be included, that there are some voices that still fall outside of this umbrella of tolerance. And I recently found out that my voice is one of those that's outside of the umbrella.
Now, there's a fascinating background. Noah, of course, to any story like this is a fascinating background, but this one is a particular interest to me because Noah's from Louisville, Kentucky. He was homeschooled here in Louisville by his parents all 12 years, and, that's a part of an interesting angle here, too. You know, you have a homeschool graduate who gets into an Ivy League college and is elected the student government president. That's really something. And, it is clear that Noah has the respect of his peers. You just look back at the election and all the rest. No stranger on that campus, recognized as a leader. You know, this was a convictional statement. This was a courageous step to speak of Jesus Christ. It'll be interesting to see what happens from here. Noah, can you stay with us for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, folks, you may want to ask Noah a question yourself, and we'll continue this conversation. I want to know what you think about this. Some of you may be on a college campus right now. When I asked Noah if his situation was analogous to what will be on other campuses, well, I'm confident the right answer to that is just as he said, yes, because what's happening in the elite ranks of academia is really a nationwide experience. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Give us a call, join the conversation coast to coast. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Listening to the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmueller.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mueller.
Welcome back, America. You know, there are folks who seem to look for controversy. And, you know, I won't mention names, but there are certain media personalities who tend to pop up wherever there is a controversy or a news story, and you know that they will not be far from the action wherever it is. And I give very little attention to that kind of controversy. I'm not interested in some kind of artificial, you know, just add water and shake controversy. I'm interested in what really matters, and that's why I'm interested in this story, because what's going on at Dartmouth College in the aftermath of Noah Reiner's convocation address is the kind of controversy that is worth watching, and it's worth analyzing, because the parallels to this are going to be found on virtually every major college campus in America. And not only that, you could draw a very quick line to many places in the workplace, in the culture, in conversation, where people are just offended by the fact that you would even identify yourself as a Christian. And Noah Reiner did just that. He is a believing Christian. He spoke of the role Jesus Christ has in his life, not only as a model of character, but as his Savior and Redeemer. And here's the audacity of what Noah Reiner really committed. He went on and he used an expression that others have focused on, in which he said, "for us." Now, that really aggravated people. Now, one of Noah's defenders on the campus said, look, if Noah had stood up in convocation and said, "I'm gay," everyone would have applauded him. And I thought it was interesting. He went on and said, that's not Noah's story, but if it were, we'd have no problem with that. But the very fact that he got up and said, "I'm a Christian, and by the way, that doesn't just mean some kind of tribal identity. That means I believe this." Well, down went the curtain. Noah Reiner's with us, and we're honored to have him. Noah, let me ask you, as the student body president there at Dartmouth College, did you do this to aggravate people?
Absolutely not. My speech was about the issue of character, and the way I think about character, the way that that I see character, is through the lens of Jesus Christ, and he's not just an example of character. I can't talk about him that way. I can say, yes, we can look to Jesus as an example of character, but if we stop there, then that's just an incomplete discussion. That's not enough. Jesus is much more than that. He's our Savior. And that's basically what I said, because that's who I am. That's the only thing that I could say.
Now, I want to know something from you personally. When you were giving this address and you got to that part, did your audience seem ill at ease? I mean, when you looked at the faculty and your peers, the students out there, did they look uncomfortable?
Well, I know from talking to people afterwards that people told me they became very uncomfortable at that point and kind of squirmed in their seats, as one person described it. And giving the speech, you know, I couldn't tell exactly, but from afterwards, that's what people were telling me.
Well, there are some who say that it's just a matter of etiquette, Noah. You blew it. You should have read the Miss Manners Guide to Giving a Convocation Address. My favorite obnoxious, ridiculous, outlandish line in response to your address came from Brian Martin, a guest columnist for the Dartmouth, that's the campus newspaper, and he said this: Jesus would not have wanted to make new students feel unwelcome, to make faculty feel uncomfortable, or to make alumni question whether this was the same Dartmouth they had attended. End quote. Now, Noah, you talk about Jesus as a model of character. You know, is this a matter of etiquette? Is mentioning Jesus just bad form? Is it just rude?
Well, that's what I don't understand, is that I was very respectful and very kind in everything that I said, but the fact is that I made truth claims, and people can be very upset when they're presented with the truth.
Yeah, and not only that, they have a ridiculously false understanding of Jesus. They've turned Jesus into some kind of modern New Age therapist who just wants everyone to feel good and say thank you. You know, this. What about the Jesus who cleansed the temple? You know, this ridiculous claim that Jesus wouldn't have made people feel uncomfortable, the very fact that Jesus was crucified indicated that he certainly made people uncomfortable, and for all the right reasons. Now, I pressed to know on this to ask if he had been rude. Let me tell you, I've read his address. Not only that, I've looked into the campaign literature he put together when he was running for student body president. I've looked at his positions. I've looked at how he has responded to the criticism. And I tell you, he is anything but rude. He is a model, I think, of how a Christian young man should respond to criticism and yet stand firmly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. He did not turn this into a big tent revival meeting at Dartmouth College. He simply spoke of what was the essence of his concern for incoming freshmen, their character. And he went to the core of what character really is, speaking of Jesus Christ as his Savior. That was a demonstration of character as well as a wonderful speech about it. Folks, you can join the conversation by calling 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Call with your point, your question, your response to this controversy. We'll be right back. Reiner is expected to graduate from Dartmouth College in this coming spring. He's a member of the class of 06 at Dartmouth College, an outstanding student, homeschooled all the way through high school. Got himself into Dartmouth College and got himself elected president of the student body. He's been up to other things as well, 3 years on the crew team there. Lots of things like internships and the Marine Corps officer training program this past summer. Spent some time at Oxford University. Noah, you've been a very busy young man.
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, you've been doing just the kind of things that I know would impress your classmates there at Dartmouth, and for good reason. And it's clear they recognize your leadership potential there. And I really appreciate the fact that you put yourself on the line in terms of giving an address that wasn't just some kind of emotional, sentimental, or just ceremonial address welcoming freshmen. You didn't tell them just how smart they were. But you challenge them on the issue of character, and you give a testimony for Jesus Christ. You've incited just the right kind of controversy, Noah. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I want to ask you one quick question. If you're going to graduate in the spring, what's next?
I'm not sure. I'm still praying about that. I've looked into a couple different options, such as the Marines, thinking about different forms of ministry. I'm still just praying. So if you have any good ideas, let me know.
Well, I tell you what, if you're interested in ministry, I know a seminary where you need to come, and I guarantee you, you give that speech here, you won't find controversy. All right, Noah, thanks so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, this was just one picture, a microcosm of what's going on in higher education today. And what Noah Reiner incited, which was nothing less than a small riot at Dartmouth College, wasn't over anything he had to say that in any other period in American history would be considered in any way controversial. Now, let me just give you some evidence of that. Let me just take you back 60 years, just six decades. Talking about 1945 here, not talking about the mid-1700s, 1945. The president of Dartmouth College was a man by the name of Ernest M. Hopkins. He said this, "Dartmouth is a Christian college founded for the Christianization of its students." Well, would that former president even be welcome on the campus of Dartmouth College today? You know, that's one of the big questions. You know, just how far is this secularist agenda going to be pushed? You know, I really appreciated the writer who responded in the campus newspaper there by saying that if Noah Reiner had declared himself to be gay, everyone would be celebrating him. But when he declared himself to be a Christian, all of a sudden he named that one thing you can't name. There may be some of you out there who are on college campuses or have children on college campuses experiencing something like this. You may have your own observations about it, so I'd like to hear from you. 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, this whole issue of what's going on the college campus is something that should be of concern to America's parents, because far too many parents think that the biggest danger on a college campus is alcohol or drugs or sex. And yes, those things are big concerns. But I have to tell you, the most dangerous part of the college experience is intellectual. It's spiritual. It comes down to what happens when young people are really harassed and intimidated and looked down upon by an educational elite that is committed to an anti-supernatural worldview, sees Christianity as a plague that needs to be removed from the entire populace, and sees the educational process, especially in these elite colleges, as the way to vaccinate the young against such contamination. We're living in one of those eras in which we have to recognize that the adversary culture is very much in control on the college campus. And that is what we're seeing here. You see professors and peers and others within the college responding with nothing less than sheer outrage that that Noah would dare to have said such a thing. Folks, what we're talking about here is an open hostility to the Christian faith. An open hostility that means that the one thing you can't say is that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to go to Amy from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on WHKW. Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Moeller. I just wanted to say real quick that I am in my 30s, but I'm back in college right now getting my teaching license in Ohio. And just an example of the, I don't know if I want to say pressure or what, that I feel now to not say anything. Like one of my professors in an English class, I just brought up the fact that Absalom, Absalom by William Faulkner was named such because it was, you know, it parallels the story of Absalom and David in the Bible, and she got really upset with me. It's like you can't even say anything about it, or that you get sarcasm and you get ridiculed. And I'm not being over dramatic because I'm not that type of a person. I just feel very uncomfortable, and I know that my daughter will never ever go to that school. I won't say the name of it, but
Amy, you know what you're telling me here is that just and you know, you think you can't be shocked sometimes, but just telling people that Absalom, oh Absalom, is a statement from the scripture was offensive.
Yes. It was, yes, she pretty much told me to be quiet, you know, and she made a sarcastic remark to the rest of the class that, oh, I guess I'm not up on my Bible reading, you know, and it... And
she, well, I guess she's not.
I guess not. I know, and that's how I felt. I'm like, I had no intention whatever to be proselytizing or anything. I was just pointing that out, which is the whole theme of the book, you know, and it's really bad. I was shocked, and I still every day am shocked. Not every professor is like that, but a lot of them are, and especially in my education classes.
Well, Amy, God bless you. And you know, one of the things I talked about on the air yesterday is the fact that a lot of these education programs are where, you know, some of the greatest hatred towards Christianity is found. Okay, thanks so much, Amy. I really appreciate that testimony, and thanks for sharing that with us. Let's go to Anthony, who's calling from Kirtland, Ohio. Anthony, it's your turn.
How you doing today? God bless Noah.
Amen.
And you guys, what you do. We need more young men like him to stand up. I have a nephew that he brought up character when he graduated Riverside High School here in Ohio. It went good, but I just want to say this. We need to keep the good Lord where he's been in this country. If we take him away, that's going to be the downfall of this country.
Well, you know what you have in so many of these institutions and among the cultural elite is an effort to go back and sanitize our history. You know, that's what I was talking about earlier. James Friedman, who was a previous president at Dartmouth back in the 1990s, he spoke of the ghosts of Dartmouth's past. And you know who the ghosts were? The Christians who founded the school. Now, he talked about an issue of anti-Semitism. If that was there, it needs to be named for that. But what he's really talking about and what makes so many in the academic elite uncomfortable is the fact that, you know, if you go to Harvard or Yale or Dartmouth, you're going to institutions that were founded for the furtherance of the Christian gospel. But as they say, that was then, and this is now. I'll be right back with some final thoughts. I'm Albert Moeller. Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. It was really great to have Noah Reiner with us. And, you know, there's a local connection for me right here in Louisville, Kentucky. As a matter of fact, Noah is the son of a well-known pastor and leader here in this community, and yet I had no idea he was at Dartmouth College, and I had no idea that he was going to become, well, the very center of a controversy there. I have to tell you that when I read his address, I want to lead you to what I found to be the first big surprise in it. He was, after all, welcoming the incoming freshmen there at Dartmouth College. And you talk about a group of very bright and privileged kids. There you've got it. These are young people who are obviously bright. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made it into an Ivy League institution. But this is what he said to him. He said, "You're really special, but it isn't enough to be special. It isn't enough to be talented, to be beautiful, to be smart. Generations of amazing students have come before you and have sat in your seats. Some have been good. Some have been bad. All have been special." Well, that's an important word. And he went on and he spoke of three graduates who had, well, gone bad. He spoke of one who became a Soviet spy, another one who became a murderer, and another who was recently arrested for sexually assaulting a 15-year-old student. He said this, "These stories demonstrate that it takes more than a Dartmouth degree to build character." Well, here's the thing. I think that if Noah had not gone on to speak about Jesus Christ, he would have still gotten himself in trouble with this address. Because he spoke about one of those things that you really are not supposed to address, and that is the fact that education isn't everything. That there are very highly educated, evil people. That there are people with incredible educations who do awful and evil and horrible things. He spoke of the necessity of character. But what really makes his speech distinctive is the fact that it is a genuinely Christian statement. Because one of the most dangerous ideas out there today is that we can talk about character with no specific reference to its content. Noah didn't do that. He didn't take the weak way out. He didn't just say, not only be special, be nice. He wanted and he said, you know, we need the example, the consummate example of what character looks like. And he spoke of Jesus Christ. And he spoke specifically of Christ's obedience to the cross. And yes, he spoke of Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He spoke of how Jesus Christ takes away our sin. He spoke boldly, but yes, he spoke very respectfully. The kind of outrage that Noah Reiner has encountered since his address is the kind of outrage any convictional Christian can expect to find whenever there is a bold, authentic witness to the Lord Jesus Christ in the public square, in the public arena, at Dartmouth College, or for that matter, in the workplace. Not only there, but wherever you are. It's the kind of controversy that can shed not only heat, but light. Let's be agents of the light. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. We'll meet you next week. I'm Albert Mohler.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.